We continue Be'ezus Hashem our discussion of Kinyonim in Dalad Minim. We said that the mitzvah of Dalad Minim has to be in the sky at least the first day, or if one is in Yerushalayim, maybe all 7 days if one goes to the Kaisel. The mitzvah of Lochem is a prerequisite to be Mekayim, and had the Lulav and Esrei, we have to belong to the person who's being the Yoytzei to the mitzvah. We said that there's a problem if the Dalad Minim, the set, is not paid for before Yom Tov. If the Dalad Minim is not paid for before Yom Tov, then it might not belong to the buyer, to the seller, on a level of Deraisa. There might be a chesaron in the status of Lachem, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says the right thing is to pay for the Dalad Minim before Yom Tov. And, what's a question in different areas of Halacha, a fascinating topic, which is called many areas in Halacha, is the discussion of whether a check is called that you paid for something. If I give somebody a check for something, is that called I paid him? Well, that's called when he gets his money, when he cashes the check, that's when he's paid. I'm only giving him the ability to actually collect for me. Is it money? Or is it only, we'll call it a shtar choyv, or is it only the ability to go to my bank account and collect? That is a discussion. And it's a discussion that's discussed both on a theoretical level and on a practical level in different areas in Halacha. A father had to be paid to his son for Pidyon HaBen. The Halacha is he has to be paid with Chomish Sloim. He can't give a Shtar Choyv. The question is whether he give a check. Again, it's not such a practical Halacha because nobody's walking into a Pidyon HaBen, but let's say it happened. Let's say the father was someplace. He didn't have money. The mitzvah is on the 30th day. He should be being Mekayim the mitzvah even if he doesn't have the silver coins. All he has is a check. In previous generations, by the way, they discussed this binagea, dollar bills. 150 years ago, 200 years ago, when paper money, paper currency was not considered to be real money, it was only a promissory note from the government, the discussion was had. Today, Bizman HaZedek, Sam Sofer already wrote 160, 170 years ago, that since that's standard currency, it's certainly that way today, where the dollars of the U.S. Treasury are not even redeemable in silver. It's not a silver promissory note. So it's, of course, not a shtar chayv. It's cash itself. It's money. A dollar bill is money. It's legal tender. In which case, it's called gufay mamon. It would certainly be good for pidyon haben. The question is, what would be with a check? If I give somebody a check, and we could discuss this, hein on the level of a bank check, which is more to be called kesef, because it's not somebody's personal. It's the bank giving you a note of currency. A personal check is somewhat less kesef, but the Paiskim have a discussion. Dain Weiss discussed, Rav Eliyashiv Zatzal, Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, all the Paiskim of the previous generation, Ramosha actually discusses it in a different context. Ramosha discusses it in a context which is negeh, either the beginning of this year, end of the year, whenever the halachas of Shemitah's Ksofim kick in. Discussion the Paiskim. Most of Klai Yisrael's Noig, we're Noig that the Iker Shemitah's Ksofim is the end of the 7th year. We're now holding Be'ezus Hashem, the beginning of Shemitah year. Besides for Shemitah's Karka, there's also the Aloch of Shemitah's Ksofim. If somebody had a Choyv, forgot to write out a Peruz Bowl, and he had a Shtar Choyv, connected somebody, the Choyv is Mishtamet, he can't collect the Choyv. What happens if he had a check? I have a choyv that somebody else owes me $10,000. It happens to be he wrote me out a check. Would the choyv be mishta? Is it cool that I was paid? Is it cool that the money is already kagovui? Or would we say that the money was not collected? The money is not more than, I'm not holding on to any more than a promissory note and a shtar choyv. In which case, the money would be mishta. I would not be able to be collect the choyv unless he gave it to me. So the same shal is over here. Also, if I paid for the dalad minim with a check, what would be the halacha? So again, like we said, there's different stadim and different poiskim. A personal check has less, there are less poiskim that say that a personal check is considered cash than a banknote. What might also be a difference is they discuss maybe a post-dated check or a check that's already payable. If a check is already payable, there's more of a tzad that it's cash. If a check is post-dated, that means only I'm giving him the ability, the fellow I give the check to, has the ability to collect from my bank account at a certain point. Just to round out the discussion, because it's a fascinating one. In different areas of halacha, let's point out a few places where this could come up. A person had a sudden heart attack, passed away unfortunately. Going through his nechosim, they were found to be head checks of, let's say he had sold something and the person had paid him even $250,000 in head checks, in large sums of checks. What's the shaila in halacha? The halacha is that a bechor is yerush pishnayim. A bechor, a legal bechor, gets a double portion in the yerusha of his father's estate. The halacha is, the Gemara says in the sugyas in Bava Basra, Kufkov Gimel, Kufkov Dal, Kufkov Hey, Barichus, that the din of pishnayim is only be muchzik, only on assets that are held now by the father. The father passed away. Assets that are held in his estate now, as opposed to ro'ui, things that are coming to him, namely chayvus. A person passes away and he has a house, fields, whatever he might have. All those things in halacha is the bechor gets a double portion. His bank account is not money that he has. Bank account is money that the bank owes him. A bank account, he will not be yerush pishnayim. Very often that's most of a person's estate. Could be true legabe stocks, all separate discussion, what the legal status of stocks is. When I have stocks, do I own part of the company? Does the company owe me money? Is that a real ownership? Is it just a virtual ownership? Was in a corporation? Again, they get to Hilchus Ribis, they get to Hilchus Chometz on Pesach. When I have money that's in a bank, that's Roy, not Muxik. So let's say I have, I wouldn't say I, let's say the person who passed away had checks. He had $1 million worth of checks sitting in his safe. Is that cool that he has $1 million in muchzik? Or is it roi? It's not more than shtar choiv. Would be the same discussion. If you say that a check is a shtar choiv, then it's roi, not muchzik. There's no pishnayim on the checks. If we would say that it's muchzik, it's cool the father has the money, it doesn't have to be goiva from the person. You go to the bank, you collect the money. Now, again, if it's head checks, if it's post-dated, so then we have to lower that by a notch. We'll say maybe that head check, or maybe not money, but a check that could be used today maybe is money. If it's a check maybe that's made out only to the bearer of this note, so it's less diamond to money. Meaning, say, if it's a check that's only able to be used by the person whose name is written on the check, that defines as less as money. Money is not something, it should be legal tender for anything. A coin is not only for me. I can give you the coin, and it's just as legal tender. If I'm the only one who can use that piece of paper, that would seem to tell us that it's not cash. It's not money. What it is an ability. I am empowered, so to speak. I have the ability, the power, the legal right, whatever you want to call it, to go to your bank account and collect. But it's not money. If it was money, why wouldn't I be able to pass it on to somebody else? Interestingly enough, it could very well be suggested by Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita of Flatbush in his Sefer, in his groundbreaking Sefer in Hilchus Ribis. He wants to maybe suggest that there's a difference between Hilchus Ribis, between an American check and an Israeli check. Americans are much more circumspect about using checks. A lot of stores don't take checks. Furthermore, Israelis use checks because Israelis live on credit. Using checks and using third-party checks, people walk into a school, they pay tuition, they pay shkar limud with a check that they got from somebody else. They pay the grocery with a check that they got in their business from somebody else. In America, most people will not be makabel. Most businesses will not accept a third-party check, which would tell us that's not defined as money. Furthermore, the legal status of stopping a check, of placing a stop order on a check, is very different from America to Israel. In Israel, it's considered a felony to stop a check. Unless one could prove why there was some foul play at work or something else going on, which would explain why the check could be stopped. Otherwise, one cannot stop a check. In America, canceling a check, there might be a service fee, but canceling a check is not a big deal. Which tells us that in America, a check is looked at as just the ability. When I give you a check, what I'm doing is I'm giving you the ability to go to my bank account and collect. It's not that you have money. So I could tell the bank, no, don't give him money. And I'll be misader, I'll work it out with him in a different way. In Israel, where we say that you really can't stop a check except under extenuating circumstances, so there that tells us that a check is much more considered kesef biyad, the one who is mekabel the check. Rav Reisman Shlita points out that there's a tremendous nafkamina in Hilchus Ribis. Picture somebody standing in the street. He desperately needs, he has to pay somebody, a supplier, whatever it is. He needs $500 cash. He doesn't see anybody who he knows on the street to lend him the money. He pulls out his checkbook, and he passes to somebody who's passing by, and he says, please, Rabbi, I need a toiv. I need $500. But he says, why should I? Do I know you? He says, I'll write you a check. I'll write you. Do I know you? How do I trust you? How do I know the checks are good? So he says, you know what I'll do? I'll write a check. I need $500. I'll write you a check for $550. It's worth it for me to pay an extra 10%. I'll lose the 10%. Guy figures, okay, he'll take a small chance that the check is not real. He sort of knows the guy. He doesn't know if he's trustworthy or not, but okay. He'll take a chance. He'll take the $550 check. How do we slice that? How do we look at that from a halakhic perspective? Do we look at that, that what really happened over here was that they traded currencies? There's one type of legal tender called a check. There's one type of legal tender called a $100 bill called Benjamin Franklin. Do we look at that as a trade? We're trading currency, in which case I have a right to sell you my legal tender $100 bills at a better price. I'm selling you ke'ilu, each $100 bill I'm selling you for $110. That's one way of looking at it. It's not a problem. You're allowed to sell currency for a higher rate. That's how money changers or currency speculators make their panasa. But if we would define it differently and we say that a check is not more than a shtar chayv, you know what's really going on? What's going on is that the fellow who pulled out the check is really borrowing $500 to be payable later $550. I'm giving you the ability to collect $550 for $500 chayv. We call that ribbis. It might be ribbis deraisa. It's awesome. So that might be Rav Reisman Shlita suggests that there's a difference between an American and Israeli check, and the same thing will be look at the halacha that we discussed. In terms of wanting to be mahadir, to be mekayim the halacha that we mentioned, of paying for the dalid minim before yomtiv in order that it should be lochem or kol hashitis, it might very well be that there would be a difference between an American check and an Israeli check. If somebody was in America and he paid with a check, he might not be considered as having paid. Credit card might be different. Depends when the credit card, maybe when the company passes on to the business, but a credit card might be, you already have, you're not just giving a piece of paper that he could go to the bank account, you've already gone, so to speak, into the banking system, because that's how the credit card company works. They're holding on to that sum of money for the vendor, for the person who's supplying. That might be more curved to be called kesef. But just giving over a piece of paper, what we call a check, a personal check, it might very well be that that would not be called pay. In Israel, where a check is almost considered legal tender, people use third-party checks to pay their bill in the grocery store, it could very well be that that would be considered giving kasef. That would be called that the vendor, the moicher of the minim, already has kaspei biyodoi, and he'd be mekayim this halach. We'll just point out one more halacha. Then you get checks. What happens if somebody pays the moicher of the esrogim, and then the check bounces? So there, l'chayr, we would say that forget about whether what a check is. The point of the matter is this check was certainly no good. That's a call that I didn't pay. Not only that, but the person certainly didn't want to sell me the dalid minim and have the aggravation of having to deal with a bounced check. So l'chayr, wouldn't that say that that it was a tois, that it was a mekach tois, and he never meant to sell me the dalid minim in the first place? Comes along Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal with a brilliant chap. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, yeah, what do you want to do? You want to say that the moicher, there was a mekach tois, and the moicher never meant to sell the dalad minim to the lekeach. He never meant to sell me the dalad minim because he had to deal with the aggravation of a balance check. So what are we going to do? We'll say that I never bought from him the dalad minim. The $150 that I paid for the set, for my beautiful esrig, the esrog was a mistake. He gets back the esrog. I'll give it back to him. Chol HaMoed. What's he going to do with the esrog then? Let's say I didn't buy the esrog. What exactly is he going to do Erev Sukkos after Chatzos, or better even Chol HaMoed, with an esrog? How much is it worth? I'll be able to sell for $5, $6. Is Daitoy to be mevatel the Mekach because he wasn't paid? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman. Of course not. The only one who's going to lose is the Moicha. He has nothing to do with the Schoira when it comes to Chol HaMoed. In that case, we certainly don't say that even though the payment was amiss, even though the payment wasn't delivered, kefi, whatever they made up, we certainly would not say there's a mekach tois, the sale is valid, and the payment is ending. Again, you're not mekayim the halacha that you had paid already before, but at least you have the kinyan d'rabbanan, which according to most sudden work, we're only trying to be mahadir, to be mekayim the halacha of lochem, l'chol hashitos.